Welcome back, everyone, to the National Federation of the Blind of Alaska State Convention for 2021. We had some great presentations this morning. Thank you, Terry, for your talk, and thanks to our other presenters who came, and Katie is here. Thank you for your presentation as well. So now we are going to be listening to someone that I've known for a couple, 3 years. Her name is Kay Robinson. Kay has completed some training at Blind Inc. and is going to get a little more training at the Alaska Center for the Blind. And we're really happy to hear what she has to say. So you're on, Kay.
Thank you, Bonnie. Hi, everybody. I am happy to have this opportunity to speak with you today. I actually live in Fairbanks, and I am partially blind. I was diagnosed about 20 or so years ago with a macular dystrophy. It's progressive and degenerative in nature, and over the years, it has become increasingly hard for me to do my job. I ended up having to leave my work. It was kind of interesting because, at first in my work, I was making stupid errors. And then I noticed that all my colleagues were becoming increasingly impatient with me. And then I was really trying to have a good humor about it. I noticed that, the blind jokes became more and more frequent. And even though I really tried to have a good humor about it, I realized that for myself, if I wanted to continue in my work, I was going to have to be able to get some kind of training. So my purpose in talking with you today is to kind of tell you about the decision-making process that I went through to decide whether training was right for me. And in addition to telling you the things that I did consider, I really want to spend more time telling you the things that I didn't consider, because I think those are going to be really useful tools for you when you are deciding for yourself whether training is an appropriate option. So the first thing that I want to do is talk to you about this little dialogue that I had with myself when I was considering training. And the first part of that began with my asking myself some very honest questions. And they were like, the first one was, you know, what kind of a life do I want for myself? And I'm in my 50s. I was considering, like, you know, am I ready to hunker down, settle in, and kind of be a homebody? And, or am I ready, you know, or do I really want to continue being as social as I've always been? I've always been super outdoorsy. So when I was considering that question, I didn't look just to my immediate future, but in the long run, over the next 30 or 40 years, what kind of a life do I want for myself? And when I looked at that question, I was like, yeah, I think training would probably be right for me, because I still want to be able to be satisfied in my life. Another important question that I asked myself was, what level of independence do I require for myself? And I had to consider, am I going to be content waiting to eat until somebody's available to prepare and present a meal to me? Or am I going to be content in having somebody read and respond to my emails and my text messages? Or, you know, am I going to be content to wait to schedule outings or appointments and on somebody else's schedule or when they're available? And again, I came back to that, you know, to that realization that I'm a pretty independent person, and I really don't want to have to wait until other people are available to help me. I want to be able to do things on my own. So that was a important part of the dialogue for me. The other important part, another important part, was thinking about, you know, am I up for the challenge of blindness training? And I, you know, knew that learning to, you know, do things that over the years I've had to give up because I'm not able to do it, I knew that it was going to be challenging. And I wondered, am I really up for that challenge? And I am a good student. I've always been interested in, you know, learning new things, and I really thrive on things that are challenging. So I thought, yeah, I've got this. I can do that. It's not a big deal. But there was another piece of that that I also needed to consider. And that was, am I ready to face my fears? And I did have a lot of fears, do have a lot of fears still. Not just that fear of, you know, losing my vision completely and not being able to be independent, but I've always been a little bit of a perfectionist. So the fear of having my friends and my family and perfect strangers see me struggling to learn something new and, you know, and potentially failing a few times. And that was a kind of a big deal to me. But in the big picture, I kind of looked at it and I was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. And it was essentially a no-brainer to me. I was like, blindness training is exactly what I need in order for me to be able to have the quality of life that I want to have. But, and that, I'm going to tell you the truth, that's essentially all I really considered when I was considering blindness training. What I would say to you is there's probably a few more things that you should consider. And the first of those, I think, is what obstacles do you have that might prevent you from getting the training that you need or being successful in your training? And each one of these obstacles, these are going to be super individual to us. So maybe you have a parent or a spouse who's really protective and doesn't want to see you struggle. Maybe it's going to be a challenge or an obstacle to try to get, you know, to convince them that, yeah, you can do this and you're ready to take a risk. I don't know if you've ever looked into the cost of blindness training, but it's super expensive. So maybe funding is an obstacle for you. And maybe you're going to have to really explore how you might be eligible for resources. But once you have identified whatever those obstacles are for you, then the next step is to think about how am I going to overcome these obstacles and to guarantee that I have a training program that's relevant to me and that is timely in nature so that it's not dragging your life out for many, many years. And then the other piece of that is who is it that I have that could potentially help me work through these obstacles. So once you answer those basic questions about, you know, what quality of life do you want, and then identify any potential obstacles, I think the next important thing, also something that I absolutely failed to do, is to think about advocacy. And it's important to realize that you are going to be your own best advocate and that you are going to need to be consistent and persistent in getting the training that you need. It's important to think about how you are going to get that training and who is going to be available to help you. I completely took for granted that those people responsible for training me were going to be 100% invested in my success. I did not realize that they were going to be really busy or that they were going to be a little disorganized or that even sometimes unmotivated. So having advocates is going to be a really important tool to help you be able to get the training that you want. I think the thing that I would say about advocacy is when you are thinking about who you have in your corner, I would encourage you to find at least one other person. Advocacy is a big job. You are going to be exhausted by it. And if you have somebody to help you, it will take a burden off of you. And then the other thing about it is if you have more than one person who's completely invested in your ability to be successful, then having more than one advocate kind of takes that burden off any one person. When you are thinking about your advocates, as you are investigating the option of training and as you pursue your training, your path is going to cross with a lot of other people. And these people may have been trained before, they may know how to navigate the bureaucratic process, or maybe they're just somebody who really cares about you. But in this process of exploring, you are going to meet people that could potentially be an advocate. And I would say keep an active list of those people, communicate with them, establish a relationship with them, because in the future, if something comes up, then you have somebody who might be willing to help you through that process. The other thing that once you have thought about advocacy, I think the next important thing is going to be your mindset about training. And I think it's important to be completely committed to the training process. Just realize that you are going to work very hard and that you are going to be learning to do things in different ways, or you are going to be relearning to do things that you've lost your ability to do potentially. So, and it is not easy. It is overwhelming at times. And I can speak from personal experience. I am absolutely sure that there were times in my training that I growled like a rabid dog. It was very, very overwhelming. It was frustrating. And you just have to be committed to being able to overcome those feelings of being overwhelmed. You just have to accept that you are going to relearn or learn to read in a completely different way, to walk in a completely different way, to take care of yourself in a completely different way. And I think, like for me, I think the biggest challenge is learning how to listen in a completely different way. And that was really overwhelming for me. So you just have to make that commitment to your success. You have to have that mindset that no matter how difficult it might be, that you are going to persist with it and you're going to be successful. Because it is actually very rewarding when you find yourself able to do something that you've had to give up in the past or that you haven't ever been able to do. It's actually pretty exciting. I think once you have, you've considered whether training is potentially right for you, whether it's something that you want to pursue, when you've identified your obstacles, you have potentially a list of advocates, and you have made that commitment that you are going to be successful in this process, you potentially have the foundation that you need to begin your training. And for me, I hope in my sharing this that you are a little more prepared for this process than I was, and that you don't have to flounder through it as much as I did. When I think about blindness training, I think of it as the keys to my freedom. And I look at it as blindness training is, and I'm still learning. Every day is a new learning experience for me, but it's giving me the tools to be independent, which is something that's very important to me. It has given me the confidence to attempt things that, trust me, I would never have attempted in the past without my vision. And so, and it gives me the ability to be somebody that I respect, which is a big deal. So, when I'm sharing this information with you, I hope my goal is to prompt you to think about blindness training, figure out if it potentially is right for you, and try to think about things in a way that you are setting yourself up for success so that you know what you need to gain the skills that you want, and that you also have somebody in your corner to help you through that process. Like I said, I'm still continuing my training. It's a new experience for me. Thank you for taking the time to be here with me today.